This is Kent Clothier. If you are looking to improve your life, improve your business, and just get it all together, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Time Is Now podcast.
Yo, 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 what is going on, everybody? Glad you have made it here today. I'm really excited about today's podcast. I have one of my best friends here, a guy by the name of Octavio Cifuentes. What is up, brother?
What up, homie?
So he is joining us from beautiful Boca Raton, Florida, where I used to live. And Octavio owns a company called FTX Wellness. He's the founder of Recovery Through Repetition, as well as RPS Supplements. I mean, he's got a lot going on. I asked him to come on here today specifically because his journey, his path, what he is passionate about, and then his ability to go off and not only build a business, but build a life, kind of rising up, if you will, from the ashes a little bit, is really, really inspiring. I thought it would be great to share it with you guys and give you guys some insight into what it takes, which is obviously what this whole thing is about, right? Is our goal here is to make sure that people are not only armed with information, but they're armed with the aspiration and the inspiration to dig deep, reach up, do what you got to do. And I know you do. You see it every single day. You're in it every single day. So I figure we just kind of jump into it. Before we do that, kind of let everybody know a little bit about yourself real quick.
What's up, guys? First of all, it's an honor to be on your podcast, man. You've been my best friend for over 8 years, man, and I consider you my older brother. You make fun of me like one, so definitely get the the gist of it. But reality is, man, I'm just a guy from Nicaragua, a little country next to Costa Rica and Central America. Grew up with a great family, moved to sunny South Florida 10 years ago, not by choice, but I was exiled out of Nicaragua, man. I was actually kicked out and asked to leave. I don't know how many people have been asked to leave a country, but I was.
Jesus Christ.
But that's reality, man. I was in a really, really dark place, man. I was blessed to be born with a great family. My dad is the epitome of a hustler. I'm talking about entrepreneur, can never have a boss. He's basically us, just he doesn't understand. He can never do a 9-to-5 thing. And I think he instilled in me what I have till today, man. I just got to go. And, I don't conform. I don't, I just got to keep on growing. And it's funny. So my journey to where I am today is kind of crazy. Like I said, 10 years ago, I was kicked out of a country. I had $800 to my name. And I was 2 days sober. I've always been struggling with alcohol and drug addiction since my early 20s. And I'm going to backtrack a little bit and explain. So my father was a successful entrepreneur, race car driver, the coolest guy on the planet.
Yeah, but he was like,
I could never fill those shoes.
And, yeah, but he was
had that shadow that I could never, ever.
He was like a super entrepreneur, right? I mean, he was like,
live up to those standards.
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy. Your dad was like super, I mean, an entrepreneur is one thing, but you guys, I mean, you were living an elite life, right? I mean, it was like next level shit. You guys were doing extremely well back in Nicaragua, right?
Oh, yes. So Nicaragua, sad thing is 96% of the population is dirt poor and 4% is elite. We were on the elite level. So when I say entrepreneur level, my dad owned country clubs. Every hobby he ever did became a business, a full functionally 8-figure business. I'm talking about, I'm going to give you an example. When my father died, he had 36 cars in his garage, classic cars that he started rebuilding, but then he just would sell one to keep building more. He bred horses, pure Andalusian horses. So we had 48 horses in our stables.
Right.
He decided to have a coffee farm. So he has 2,000 acres worth of coffee, and he made that business work. So he understood business, right? And I could go on and on and on and how successful he was. I grew up on that level. Like when guys right. were riding trucks, I was driving a 1961 MGTD to school. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when I moved back in 1991, man, it was guns blazing the wild, wild west. Kids didn't really have anything to do. There were no malls or no AC. There was no like baseball leagues. So what did we do? We drank. It's in our culture. So we drank. We were allowed to drive to school at 15, 14. I was actually having a conversation earlier this week about our parents would let 17, 15-year-olds go to a mansion on the beach for the weekend.
Crazy.
So just to flip my mind, my best friend was like, yo, your kid, you would let your unborn kid in 15 years go to a mansion with 16 other fuck-ups.
Right.
And just go ham.
Right.
But there was nothing else to do. But since they all knew, all our parents knew each other, like, yeah, sure, let them have it. They'll be fine. You know, it's all safe. Plus, there was a guard there looking after us. You know, so I grew up in that elite fashion. I went to Louisiana State University because of agribusiness. I went there for 5.5 years, never graduated, came back. So my dad made me his briefcase bitch to teach me a lesson, right? He's like, hey, you want to learn the business? I'm not going to give you a business. You got to learn from the beginning. So you're going to carry my briefcase for a year and a half, right? And he'd be like, hey, I need you to wait outside because you're not ready for this meeting, right? And now that I'm looking back, just like you say, that Steve Jobs thing, you can't connect the dots backwards. Everything makes sense that my dad was just teaching me life lessons constantly about that, right? So let's fast forward. So 3 years after that, my dad lets me, run our country club, and we do awesome, man. So next thing you know, I'm doing great, but I'm making US dollars in a third world country where the change was 30-1 and I was getting paid in dollars, right? So I am living like a king, right? I have maids, I have drivers, I have the whole thing. I'm hot. Shot 25-year-old, but I'm really a hot mess, man. I have this security blanket that my father, I'm not going to mention the political ties that he had, but I should have had 10 DUIs. I should have been in jail. I never did nothing. Right. You know, I have no consequences. Man, by 27, I'm in rehab for the first time. And just to give a little perspective about what it is, alcoholism or whatever, my dad, when I told him I needed help, he shut me in his house with my private doctor and a nurse for 7 days, pumping me full of IVs and sedatives just to detox. So no one could find out, bro.
Wow.
How much would that cost you here in the States? You know, just hire a 24/7 doctor and a nurse, right? So my dad's finding out that, you know, his son's sick, but it's not really a disease. He thinks I'm just finding my way. Another fun fact, when I came back from college, I wrecked 8 cars in 6 months.
Wow, dude.
So my dad collected cars and I just killed them.
Mm.
So he was a happy guy.
You were a hot mess.
Hot mess, right? So let's move on to the hot mess part. When I come back from rehab, my mom's like, hey, I need a favor. I want you to really, and I know I've told you this story, he's like, I need you to help, you know, convince your dad, because my dad hated doctors. I need you to go to the doctor with your dad because he's been taking naps. My dad woke up at 5, went to bed at 8:30 every day, and he's been taking naps. So I was like, no, I'll take them. Dude, so we go, we take our physicals together. They call us in the afternoon, full family meeting, and they tell my dad that he has renal cell cancer. Now, renal cell cancer could be beat caught early. Unfortunately, by this time, he had metastasized to his lungs, right? Mm. The doctor that was his best friend tells him, hey, man, you got to get the hell out of Dodge. Miami, Boston, Houston, best cancer treatment centers in the United States. Get the hell out of here. Okay. So I've never seen a guy cry. I think I saw my dad cry twice in my life. Saw him cry that night. The moment they tell him he's sick, he looks at me. It's like, it's your time. It's on you now, bud.
Wow.
Calls our family lawyer, which was his best friend. He's like, I need you to put everything and name Octavio CEO. I'm a hot mess, man. I just got back. I'm 3 months clean and out of rehab, right? And I'm now the CEO. My dad's – so I get home. He makes me make the call to my sister, tells my sister, you know my sister. You were at her wedding. And he's like, I can't talk to your sister. I need you to do it. I call my sister. I'm like, dad's sick. He's on his way tomorrow. She's like, how are you? I was like, man, I can't even process this right now. I get a call on the cell phone. It's my dad's doctor friend saying, hey, I didn't have the balls to tell you when your dad was in front of me. Your dad has 3 tumors in his head, and I don't understand how he's alive right now. Please tell him, because I don't have the balls to.
Wow.
Dude, just thinking about that, I'm about to cry right now, right?
Right. So
I go back outside where my dad's in the terrace having a drink, and I'm like, you're really sick. You need to get this taken care of now. And I do. Dude, the next day he's in Miami in the Sylvester Cancer Center getting 2 tumors removed from his head. Mm-hmm. I show up the next day to see he doesn't recognize me. That broke my heart immediately.
Oh, wow.
Wow, man. So right then and there, I think it was like the beginning of everything for me. I started, you know, finding out that when the king's not around, everybody wants a piece of the pie.
Yep.
Uncles, so-called friends, everybody, sharks, they smell blood, they want a piece. Man, my dad had a huge battle, 8 months through it, and he passed away February 09. I relapsed 30 days later. I ruined my dad's, I can tell you stories about how I did it, but selfishly, I was in and out of the rooms. The next thing you know, man, I ruined my dad's last birthday on this planet. But that's what I hold on to. I hold on to that because I know how much it killed me inside and how I need to show up. And it's the reason, one of my reasons why I show up today. Let's fast forward 6 months after that, I'm running it. Barely showing up to work 3 times a week, a little fucking snot hose kid that doesn't know shit, all right? My mom calls me to the office. She's like, hey, we need to talk. Your sister signed over her stock, and guess what? You're fired. You need to get the hell out of this country because I just lost my husband. Your sister just lost her father, and we're both losing you. You need to find out what to do.
Wow.
Fuck out. Now, I don't think your mother ever says get the fuck out, but you know what I'm saying is she's like, you need to get your shit straight.
Holy
dude,
shit.
I think I have thousands of dollars in the bank. I go, look, I have $800.
God.
All right. My mom bought me a ticket, and she's like, you have a one-way ticket to wherever you want. Just don't come back till you're ready. So I've been to rehab at this place called Delray Beach, Florida, where the only place I ever found some hope or, you know, just clarity. I call somebody there, and he's like, yeah, man, it costs $600 a month and $100 deposit. That buys you nothing. I'll take it.
Wow.
And that was me 10 years ago here. Now, in my mind, I was only going to do a year sabbatical, get clean, come back and take the reins, reclaim my kingdom. It's been 10 years, and I'm here, man. I'm still in Boca. So that's the beginning of why, right? That's my who, that's my how, that's why I became who I became. But that's just, it doesn't define me. I understand that I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict, but I'm in recovery. So mm-hmm. I find 12 steps, man, and you actually came into my life about a year and 2 months after. And the more I think about it, I got my ass to the table. They were like, hey, who's the best? You know, somebody, Drew Cannoli, our good friend, he asked around and he was like, who's the best? So I was like, he got 2 names. I got on the phone call that day. I sold the shit out of him. And then the next day, you two showed up at the gym.
That's right. Right?
So then here's the deal. I start training you. I start finding out that I am actually pretty gifted at what I do besides selling or besides, you know, I'm very good at interpersonal relationships. But you explained something very, very key. Time. And you hadn't told me all your stories about time and how they relate to you and all that. You just told me that, hey, bud, you're good. You get me to train SEMA. So I'm training you guys 5 days a week. You guys are sending me some pretty fucking hefty checks.
Yep.
You're like, dude, how many of me do you have? I'm like, I got about 5 or 6. He's like, you need 15. But when you have 15, you're going to hit that magic number, which is $63,000 at what you're calling. You already had all this in your mind. You were brainwashing me. I know what you're doing now because I can see it. And you're like, dude, what are you going to do after that? I was like, well, the only solution is small group training. He's like, yeah, but then you're going to hit that roof again. What are you going to do? by this time, I think our relationship was like a year later. You're like, yo, you're coming with me to San Diego. And I was like, let's do it. I met my now wife, and I'm like, I ain't going nowhere, bro. I'm in love with her, yada, yada. I got to see where it's going. But here's the funny part. I get recruited to come work at a sports facility place here in Boca because my dream was to train pro athletes. Why? Because we're all frustrated athletes, and I wanted to be around athletes and pros, and that's how you make it as a personal trainer. What did I find out? Pro athletes don't like paying money. Their agents pay their money. So I always got to upsell the agent. And then I got to upsell the trainer. Yeah? So then I become floor manager at the sports performance place, and that's how it goes. Vacancy comes open as a director. And you remember the call I gave you? Mm-hmm. A week later, he's like, yeah, dude, go for it. Go for the director. I got passed. I was too young. I call you, and I'm like, yo, I just got passed on this. He's like, oh, well, do I start my own thing? And you're like, if it doesn't scare you, it ain't worth doing. So I start outfit training.
I remember.
What's going to separate you from the flock? That was the epitomal quote that changed my life, right? So 5 years ago, I started training. And what do I know? I know recovery. I know people in recovery. Why don't I start doing your groups in recovery? Next thing you know, bro, I blow up. We blow up. I started working on systems, which I thought I was using systems. And then, man, 2 years later, well, you saw the facility when you came out last month. I bought that facility. And now I have the whole building. We have 29,000 square feet. And reality was that I thought I had made it then. 2 years ago, or almost three, I flew up to see you guys with my business partner. And you asked me three things. I couldn't fucking answer, right? KPIs. What were my KPIs? I was like, what the hell is a KPI? You know? So all my ego that had deflated then, you know, that, you know, I built this monstrosity. I'm so awesome. I'm just like my dad. I'm on my way. He shot down in about 2 days worth of just meetings. Right? But that's the good thing, man. We always need to evolve. We always need to keep growing. And if you don't, you die. Evolution will get you.
Right.
Man, so I come back, I talk to Kay, and we're like, dude, we're nowhere near ready, right? You show me some pointers, we start working, and it begins, man. Now, like I said, we have a 29,000 square foot facility, just started RPS supplements. I have a nonprofit that I love wholeheartedly with my heart. You know, it's helping people in recovery. Life is good. I have my first kid on the way. All right, but here's another thing, right? So last year, we're on vacation, and I lost my shit, man. After 8 years of sobriety, I lost it. I have a disease that never stops. Mm-hmm. I thought my whole life was over. I thought everybody, my credibility and everything, because I work in the in the recovery community, and what, Octavio? In my head, I was done. And basically, I was. As a person, as a man, everything I thought I was worth, done. There's two things that got me up every day. One, my dad, Robin, the woman that fell in love with sober Octavio. And three, the humility that I had to ask her to send me away, get help. There is no shame in asking for help.
Amen, bro.
You know? And dude, does it get any better than this? Yesterday, I got my 9th month chip. And I'm on a podcast on Kate Clothier's podcast today.
Right.
Dude, what?
Well, and none of this would have happened. You can't, there's no way you can appreciate the brightest of lights without going through some of the darkest of darks, right? I mean, you have to have the contrast. And, you know, I think that your point is well taken, and that at the end of the day, I certainly am not a part of the recovery community, right? But you're one of my closest friends, and so I kind of got a little bit of a front row seat to it, and certainly I'm helping with the nonprofit. Exactly, right? It's something I'm passionate about, helping people in general. But I can tell you the mental roadblocks that people stigmatize, whether it's whatever it is, right, in their minds, the story that they tell themselves is almost always that, a story that they're telling themselves that they can keep, that will keep them trapped where they are.
Caged.
It's right?
It's a mental self-caging that people don't understand the potential we all have. We all have the potential to be better every single day.
Right.
Like, I still don't get when people tell me, or I had a trainer come in and was like, yeah, man, I woke up at 9. I was like, 9? Dude, I woke up at 4:30 today, got my book out. I'm reading this book that you told me to read, right? And then I'm meditating. Then I'm working out. Then I'm having, and I'm planning out my day, so I'm not wasting time. I don't have time.
And then, you're still human, and you still will fall, and you will falter, and you still will question yourself. But the point of it is you keep moving. That's the point, right? What's the alternative? I mean, the alternative is that you sit around, feel sorry for yourself, become, let life suck you down, and then just, you know, ring it out, I'm out, right? And that's just, look, we have, to your point, we have a very, very limited amount of time on this planet. And we all have those moments that we wish we could grab back. But while you're so busy looking back, trying to grab at this or that, or what was lost, the reality is you're wasting what you have right now. And I applaud you, dude, because I know that was a tough pill to swallow. And when you relapsed and you had to get help and you had to come back, but clearly you're better than you've ever been, than I've ever seen you.
I'm running on, like, dude, I was talking to Los the other day. He was down here. We were shooting this podcast and we're all like, ever since we've been hanging out, look, first of all, my mom's been telling me things that you guys say the same thing. You tell me your 5 closest friends, I'm going to tell you who you're really about.
Right.
Right. Some of your friends are, and I'm going to tell you how you act, number one. Two, I'm running, let's say I was running at a 70% because my mind was foggy using drugs. I got to bounce back, the mental agony of hiding it from people, everything. Now, I'm my truest form, right? And I'm going to fall, but I know exactly who to call when I have a question.
Right.
Hey, man, I got a marketing question. I'm going to call this. Hey, I got, you know what? I need some friend advice. I need this. Hey, am I leading my team right? I call whoever I need to call.
Right.
We have the resources, right? Dude, and I hate to always plug you, but the Scale and Escape event you had, bro, I say that to everybody. I say it on my weekly trainer session. I'm like, guys, 4 buckets. If you don't fit into my 4 buckets, you're not in it. You're not even close to making my agenda.
Right.
Right? That's it. And don't come at me with like stupid little fires where you're not making it. You're not wasting my time. I don't have time to turn off fires. I'm here to give you solutions to how we move forward to our vision. Now, there's 2 things I wanted to share that you always point out. Write your perfect day. So I've written out my perfect day. I've written my vision. I could smell it. I could see it. I know exactly what it looks like. But here's the different thing that I add to it. What kind of work am I putting into to attract that?
Yep.
That's something that I learned in AA. So check this out. When I was getting sober, my sponsor told me, he's like, hey, man. And I was like, dude, when can we start dating? Because I love this date. I need a woman in my life, whatever. He's like, I want you to write the perfect woman. Describe her. What she looked like, what she smelled like. Just like our lines. And then after a week or two of just doing that homework, that assignment, I read it. I was the proudest guy. He looked at me and he said, what traits do you have to attract that?
Ooh, that's good.
Woo-hoo! Right?
Yep.
So what do I do? What do I have to attract that kind of woman? Right?
That's good.
So I apply that same thing to your perfect day. What are we doing to deserve that day? How am I evolving to deserve that? And once, dude, you live your perfect life because I've read that piece of paper. But what are you doing daily to keep it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's that whole thing. I'm like, dude, I got to keep on evolving. If I don't evolve, I die. If I, for me in my recovery, if I don't keep on helping people in recovery, I'm going to get sick again. Because I got to be on the front line seeing what this disease does.
I love that. I'm ready.
Right?
Yep.
You're totally jacking it, aren't you?
It's done. I'm about to send an email right after this.
I'm signing your name. So that's what I'm doing, right? What am I doing? How am I evolving? How am I pushing my guys anybody in recovery, like, you come in, you know? And that's what I'm doing, right?
I mean, I know you've seen people from, so how big of a role do you think getting healthy, getting physically healthy, how big a role do you think that plays in the recovery process for people? I mean, how big a role should it play? Can it play? All that kind of stuff. You've seen the front lines of it.
Dude, here's the thing. As addicts and people in recovery, for me, the 12 steps of AA are just one thing, one path to a higher power. That's the biggest important thing. But it's not tangible. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
While people in, that's why we call it recovery through repetition, because if we repeat the same pattern in the gym or making better choices in life, you see progress. It's tangible. You go to the gym every day, you start eating, you'll start seeing results. The moment you stop,
you'll see those results.
Oh, no. I know. I used to remember. I was like, oh, damn. You sore, buddy? Yes. Yes, we're sore. You know what I'm saying? So the idea of, you know, exercise, commitment, everything else is I apply it in business, you know? And what I don't know, I ask, right? I apply discipline. I apply commitment. And that keeps me on my day-to-day process of evolution. And that's it. Why do I keep on evolving? Because I have to. If not, I revert back to sickness. And that's one place I do not want to go.
So let me, I'm going to kind of make sure I get some clarity for everybody that's on here. So you go through your struggles, you get to Delray Beach, you go through that process, you become a physical trainer. Then that's how you and I meet. I'm looking for a trainer, a buddy introduces us. We get going, we start having some conversations. You continue down the path of a trainer, but then you begin to figure out that you can kind of pull two things that you're passionate about, the physical side, the fitness, the wellness, and also helping addicts and their recovery, and put these two things together. And ultimately, it started out as OxFit. It's now become FTX Wellness. This business is born where not only now is it that, but it is helping, you know, people from all walks of life, right? 29,000 square feet. I mean, it's an unbelievable facility it is freaking like nothing I've ever been in. Better than any gym I've ever been a part of, right? And then on top of that, now you have colleges that are working directly with you guys. You have corporate clients that are working directly with you guys. And then, as you just pointed out, it is now even another offshoot of that is the foundation sitting out there, Recovery Through Repetition, which is really focused on giving back, you know, a portion of profits and proceeds to addiction programs and people that are trying to recover, as well as providing services to them inside.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So I became passionate about health. Health got me sober. Fitness gave me a obsession on how I can make it more tangible, and I understood how to do it. That didn't fill me up, but guess what did? Helping other people. And it's always the same thing about personal training, right? You were like, hey, it was easy for you because you came into me. He's like, hey, buddy, guess what? I got 90 days for a transformation. I got a photo shoot. If I don't look good, you're not getting this bonus. Cool.
Right.
That's how it starts. Fine. But as soon as you were starting getting results, you believed in me.
Right.
Right. Something clicked. Not only that, once I saw your commitment, I started waking up at the crack of dawn to go run bridges with you. Right.
Yep.
So that kind of motivation, that kind of stuff really gets contagious around people. Right. So that started this, and then somebody in recovery is like, hey, would you like to I actually volunteer to go teach a boot camp at my old rehab? And that's how it started. He's like, hey, do you know a yoga instructor? Actually, I do. Hey, do you know a chiropractor? Actually, I do. Do you know a physical therapist? And then I started asking questions that there was a need in the market for that kind of stuff. So we created FTX, and next thing you know, we're servicing everywhere from Port St. Lucie all the way to Fort Lauderdale. You know?
That's
we're
amazing.
Seeing over 3,000 people a month. We're still figuring out, you know, this is a huge business. It's medical billing. I've gone 3X from last year for the first 6 months this year, which I told you earlier this year.
I think it's cool because, you know, anybody that's watching this, I mean, it's cool for multiple reasons. But the reason why I wanted you on here is two things that I think are really important specifically. It's not where you start. It's where you finish, and you're still on the journey. I mean, like you said earlier, even 2 years ago when you guys were out here, you already thought you were kind of on top of the world, and now you weren't even a fraction of what you are today, right? I mean, you weren't even a blip on the map of where you are today. And I would argue you're probably going to be the exact same way. I mean, you've got a tiger by the tail. You could easily be a $100 million company inside of the next 24 months, very, very realistically. Right? I mean, and you think you're big shit now. And the reality of it is you have the ability to be 20 or 30 times that like that. And because you're in a business that kind of explosive growth exists. But you didn't come from any of that. You don't know any of this shit. This is all you just surrounding yourself with mentors and people and having, to your point, tapping into a network of people and then using your God-given strengths, which are your interpersonal skills, to kind of keep moving things forward and your inner drive. I think it goes a long way. I think that's an important thing that I think people should walk away with, is that, you know, you said it, but I don't know that everybody got it, that you figured out how to get a seat at the table, that you pushed your way in. You know, bottom line is there's – the world will get out of your way if you have a strong enough commitment to making it happen. And the second part that I think is important that people pick up is that, oh, by the way, while all that shit's going on and you're trying to get this done – you're still a human being and you still fall down and you still pick yourself back up. And so when people go through a divorce or a death in the family or a foreclosure on their house or an illness or whatever, that does not need to define you, right?
Life is not over. It's a mistake. That's a bump.
Right.
You know, I'm a huge Rocky fan. Yep. I post that on my Instagram all the time. And I'm always like, dude, it's not how hard you hit. It's how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's my whole tagline on life. Why? Because I've gotten hit and I thought you couldn't hit me because I had the biggest shield on the planet. I was born with a huge shield, right? When that shield got taken away from me, guess what? I had to grow up and become a man. You know, that's what happens.
Right.
And now I'm the big shit. I'm having a kid in 60 days. I'm scared shitless. I don't know what's going to change. Everybody's going to be like, it's going to be wonderful. I'm scared shitless. Right? But I know I have great friends and I have a great support system that's going to guide me through it. Just like I get scared and I'm like, dude, I have no idea what I'm doing on this Instagram thing. I got to call the guy that knows. Hey, I don't know about this. Cool. Or like I get calls from Kobe like, yo, I need a watch. Cool. I can time you through it. There's friends that we have that we could lean on about everything. If you look at your closest people, and you can't tell who's really good and who's not, you're hanging on with the wrong people. If you're the smartest guy in the room, leave that room. I know I need to, because it scares the shit out of me, right? I surround myself with people I trust blindly, but know that will call me out on my shit immediately.
Well, and I think one thing that's worth mentioning there too also is that go into relationships, you know, giving first, right? You've never asked me for anything. But in the end, our natural friendship and our willing to get, it naturally brought me to a place where I wanted to help you any way I could, which then in turn, I'm now, you know, like we just experienced this last year. I mean, in the right hands, like yourself, a guy like me and what I can bring to the table to you becomes very dangerous. And here's what I mean, is that, dude, we're just trying to hang out, right? Like, I'm going to give everybody a really good example. You are a product of the decisions you make here, okay? And we had committed to go to Coachella a year earlier, correct? And you have your relapse, you have a pregnant wife, and there was literally every single reason that you could have possibly given to say, let's not do this. You could have given, right? But instead, I mean, we had a conversation on this. Instead, you're like, no, we're doing this. I'm going to be there. And you go, and what ends up happening? You end up connecting with Los, connecting with Justin, all of us sitting there having this opportunity to sit in a really confined, limited access where other people could get to us, no distractions. We had the opportunity to all bond. And now, think of what spawned out of that so quickly, right? Here we are 6 months later. All right, we got a supplement line coming out. Okay, we got this 501(c) we're now helping with. We got this marketing effort we're now helping with. The business, I mean, it's like, my point of it is that at some point you have to train your instincts to where it's like, I just have to be in the right room. I don't know what's going to happen. Something, nothing may happen.
I don't care what I have to do. I don't care who or what sacrifice I have to undertake myself, but I got to be there. I knew, one, I wanted to see you because I hadn't seen you since I got back from treatment.
Right.
Two, my wife was shit fucking scared of me going to a music festival for 3 days, but she trusted the fact that I was going with you, right? And I know there was a whole bunch of backroom talk, like, hey, man, we got to, you know, be, you know, a little bit careful. But here's two things I took out besides the business opportunities. One, at no point in time, I was saying, hey, if I leave early, because I asked you, I was like, would you be upset if I left early? If I feel uncomfortable, you're like, no, dude. Dude, no point in time did we ever separate. Right. One of us wanted to leave early, and it wasn't me. It was usually the girl's like, hey, we're done. He's like, I'm over it. Let's go. I was like, all four of us would leave, right? Or, you know, it was just a bond, right? And then all of a sudden, you're like, hey, man, you need to talk to Los because whatever idea you just told me, I really like it, but he knows more about it. Cool. You know?
Yeah.
And not only that, I called you when I got the JM contract. I was like, dude, I'm out of my league here. I have no idea what I'm doing dealing with a $1 billion company. I feel like a little kid. He's like, dude, you just walk in there and you tell them this is what you do. And this is what you could make them. And this is the kind of money they could save. Okay. But that's what happens, right?
Yeah.
You grow with your crew. You get confidence by people that have done it before you. And you get guidance. Dude, I rode the back of giants here and I still am, right? But we're here to give it back as well. You've never been selfish with your time when it comes to me asking for something.
Right.
You know, and that's it. We ride the, you know, we ride the back of giants and we're going to give it back. That's it. If you don't give it back, what's this all worth? What are we all doing?
We're here to create impact, baby. We're here to create impact.
That's it. Dude, when I talk to you about the nonprofit, you're like, I don't give a shit. I'm in. You don't even have to stop your sales pitch. I'm in. Okay. Yep. And then all of a sudden, you picked up the phone. And you're like, Los, we're doing this. She's like, I fucking love it. Cool.
Right.
You know? Then Los got on the phone. And then he gets another guy. You know, this is what we're doing.
Yep.
Right? So in the past 4 years, you know, FTX has given over $3.5 million of scholarships or, you know, medical services to people that we didn't even get a dime for.
That's awesome.
And now I have the opportunity to grow that. We're going to 10 times that with everything we're doing. And now we're not only training people, you know, for free or giving them chiropractic service, PT or anything else to get to alleviate the pain. But now our second program has now taken off by getting them trades. So we're getting people certified to become personal trainers, certified to become yoga instructors. We're going into the estheticians and hairstylist because it's a trade that you don't have to go to school that long for, but it's into it. We now have tattoo shops in recovery through repetition because the tattoo shop owners are in recovery. Yesterday, we signed our first restaurant saying every single combo they sell for the rest of the year, they're going to donate $1.
That's awesome.
Dude, it's a movement. Now, this is catching on and we haven't even started, right? So, and this is all because of the people I hang out with.
Right.
Right. And the impact we've given, that's it. It's not because I'm holier than whatever. No, has nothing to do with it. We're helping the next person get better.
I love it, brother. I love it. All right. So if people want to get in touch with you, want to reach out to you, want to connect with you, where they need to go?
Cefuentes.octavio on Insta and then FTX Wellness, man. Just hit me up there.
All right. We'll post all this stuff in the show notes as well, all your contacts so people can reach out to you on the website as well as on Instagram. Dude, I appreciate it. This has been great.
Recovery through repetition.
Yeah, recovery through
repetition. We need all the support we can get online. Absolutely.
Raise your hand. Let us know that you want to help out here.
We'll be posting in the next couple of weeks with the launch. So,
all right, brother. I appreciate you. Peace.
Hey, thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't gotten signed up yet with one of our award-winning products, I would invite you to go to reww.com. Check it out. Whether you're looking for advice on entrepreneurship, you're just looking for access to our Real Estate Investing Academy, whether you want to attend one of our upcoming live events, everything you need is right there. Plenty of videos, plenty of free training, plenty of access to software and tools that will help you to become a really successful real estate investor. Again, everything is right on the site at reww.com. You can also check us us out at kempclothier.com.